What is grief? Today, Jeff and I are going to define what grief is and how to know you are grieving.
Hello, we are Jeff and
Tony.
Braybeck, the founders of Our Little Sparrows Pregnancy and Infant Loss Support. And if this is the first time you're listening to our podcast, you can check out more about us on ourlittlesparrows.org. All right, Tony. So last episode, we talked about the grief recovery method, which is something that you and I both teach under Our Little Sparrows for parents of loss. So in this episode, we're going to specifically define what grief is. So let's start right there. What is the definition of grief?
Right. So for the grief recovery method, we have two definitions, actually. The first definition is that grief is a natural and normal reaction to loss of any kind. And to make that a little bit more specific, it's the natural and normal emotional reaction to loss of any kind. So if you think about that, that can involve a lot of different types of things. The second definition is grief is conflicting feelings caused by the end of or change in a familiar pattern of behavior.
So right, which I think is great because that opens the floodgate, right? Mm-hmm. That takes off some of the restraints where people are like, well, that doesn't apply to me. No, it right. does.
Yeah, it definitely gives it a broad, makes it more broad. And so grief can be really anything. If you're feeling having feelings of like a disappointment,
right,
or maybe regret or guilt about something, and right. it can be a lot of not just the death of a loved one, or like a significant relationship, like
right. It doesn't have to be a physical death. I mean, it could be the loss of a job. Mm-hmm. It could be your parents, your dad or your mom's job relocated. So they sold the family home that you were born and raised in. Like that can be, it's a change to that that familiar pattern of I've always lived at that house. Mm-hmm. That's our home. It's like not anymore. Like it's shocking to the system.
Exactly.
To the heart.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of different types of losses. And in the grief recovery method, we talk about that there's over 40 different types of losses. And the main ones that we experience in our lifetime are death and divorce is another big one. Yeah. But, and there's lots of tangible losses, like things that we see, like you mentioned a couple already, like a loss of a job or move, moving from house or city to city type thing, loss of a pet, even loss of a relationship or a friendship even. Right. So those are things that can cause significant feelings of grief. And then there's the intangible losses, that things that are not obvious to us. Now for us, that was for us who have experienced a miscarriage. A miscarriage can be intangible loss, because especially if it wasn't a pregnancy that was further along and you maybe didn't announce yet your pregnancy, and then there was a loss there, then that can be a season of grief for you. So it's not visible necessarily to people that, you know, people didn't know about it.
Right.
Especially if you didn't announce it and it wasn't visible yet. So that can be a form of intangible grief. Right. There's intangible grief such as like loss of safety. Some maybe you experienced a traumatic event and so you don't feel safe in your home or in your community. There's loss of trust, experience there where maybe you felt a betrayal of some kind.
Sure.
Loss of faith, loss of health. There's lots of different kinds of losses that are not obvious, physically, visibly obvious. So there's lots of different examples of things like that. Even things like that we might think might be minuscule.
Right.
Things like maybe your child is in school and they didn't get the passing grade that they had hoped for in a class. That can cause feelings of grief. And so we need to recognize that there's reasons to grieve all around us more than we realize.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, speaking of tangible and intangible losses, I mean, the reason why we started Our Little Sparrows was because of both. We've experienced both. We experienced the loss of our firstborn, Olivia, on the day that she was born. Now, granted, we had a pre-diagnosis, obviously we knew things were probably not headed in the right direction. And then we've also had two miscarriages, and they're completely different miscarriages, right? In their own right, they're both intangible. Obviously, Olivia was very tangible. She was born, I was there, you held her, I held her. We were able to physically be with her, and she was seen to us, our family, and the doctors and nurses that were in the NICU with us. But our intangible losses were very different, even though they were both categorized as miscarriages. And I think our society, unless you've experienced something, you don't know what you don't know, is a very common thing to be said. And in this instance, Olivia was very unique and a situation and something we had never experienced before. And then the miscarriages that followed, also unique to us, and something we had never experienced before. But we did experience two. So the first miscarriage was 7, 8 weeks.
7 weeks,
The loss came just the day before our first ultrasound. So we didn't even get to see an ultrasound with the baby in it, right?
So in a sense, that was like something that we knew happened to us. But unless we had actually shared it with people, people would never have known. And so when we have an intangible loss where it's not obvious to other people, it can feel very isolating. And even more so because people just don't recognize that there something significant happened. And so they don't know to reach out to you unless you say something. In that sense, it can be very lonely,
Certainly.
feeling like you are dealing with things alone because people don't know. If people don't know, they don't know how to help you. And it can be scary to share something like that, or just not necessarily scary, but like very vulnerable. It's kind of like, even though you might be surrounded by a ton of people that love you and care for you, it can still feel somewhat isolated.
And our experience is very unique to that intangible loss as well. And our second miscarriage was different than the first miscarriage. We actually got to see
The
the baby
baby.
in the ultrasound, the heartbeat. We thought everything was fine.
And we were, I was, that was kind of like that first ultrasound was kind of like that marker for me, which was like, oh, if we got through that, then, we're okay. But sadly, even as we come to had come to find out just a week later or so, the baby had actually had already died at about 8 weeks. And so we, and I miscarried at 9.
And I personally found that I found that second miscarriage harder because the anticipation level just went up. Obviously, like you said, there was a sense of relief seeing the ultrasound, hearing the heartbeat. I was taking pictures of it, taking video of it, and just feeling like we broke through that ceiling that had been dramatically lowered. Like Olivia was 33 weeks. We didn't even get 3 weeks with the first miscarriage. And then a second one comes, you know. Granted, we had James, our now 6-year-old, in between the two miscarriages, but nonetheless, devastating.
So there's lots of different kinds of losses within that. We could go on and on. That even though, with James, there is still grieving to be had from the loss of our daughter Olivia and the
There's a lot of
miscarriage
anxiety.
because there was all of that coming into going into that with that pregnancy with James was coming with me, with us into that pregnancy. And so even
Every
though
day.
everything was going fine, there was still a lot of grieving. There was, more so in a sense that I didn't anticipate that, I didn't know, because that was the first time we actually got to have a full-term pregnancy.
And that's actually a good segue into the next point because I think I can only imagine, I know for myself, there was some unresolved grief that all of a sudden we realized how much the previous losses affected us when we did get pregnant with Jay. And in each week, week after week, progressing through the ultrasounds, everything's fine. And part of you is thinking we're good, and the other part's like, but what if?
There's a lot of like unresolved feelings of grief that I didn't actually recognize until we were actually going through it ourselves. And so there's a lot of like, asking yourself, what if? What if I had done this? What if I had did things differently?
Right.
There's questions of like, thoughts of like, I didn't get to do or say something to someone, feelings of
Right.
regret, or I wish I had done
So
something
like,
different.
yeah, so by unresolved, we mean things that were left on the table, things that we didn't realize that were there, that were left unsaid, left unfinished, the thought process just stopped in that moment and was never addressed again for whatever reason, right? Could be for multiple different reasons. We may not have even realized that that was there and that it had affected us.
So having those thoughts, wishing things might have been different, might have been better, or maybe did something more or something less,
Right.
those are all questions that are surrounding unresolved grief. So if those are thoughts and questions that you have, that is a sign that there are some feelings of grief that maybe need to be addressed or
Sure.
have we need to have pay attention to for whatever reason.
Right.
And that is what, what grief recovery method can help you do.
Exactly. So I know in some circles, in our society, it's like you ask, how do I get over it? How do I get closure, right? I think closure is a completely misunderstood, misinterpreted, and not helpful way to address grief and grieving, and what and unresolved grief is really what we're at the end of the day, we're talking about unresolved grief. Why else would someone, why else would I, why else would you go through the grief recovery method, learn the process, and go as far as to teach it to others, right? It's because we had unresolved grief. Whether we realized it was sitting there on the table waiting for us to readdress it later in life, or we didn't realize it was even there, we just moved on from that situation and never even addressed anything having to do with how it affected us. So, which is a perfect, I think, summation of what unresolved grief is. It's just, it's what you didn't even realize was there. So moving forward, it's like, if it's not closure, because closure is not, I don't think that's a positive thing. If it's not, how do I get over it? Then what is it? It's the grief recovery puts it in a really neat, ties a really neat bow on it. And they have one single word, completeness. We need to be complete. We're broken. I think that's the opposite of completeness, right? Incomplete or broken. And we need to put those pieces back together, type thing, and make whole what was broke, what was once broken. So could you talk about completeness and how that is used in the grief recovery method? That word, what does that word mean?
Well, completeness is kind of like what we want to achieve through the grief recovery method. And completeness is the result of having delivered those uncommunicated things, those things that you wish you had a chance to say but didn't get to say it, or things that you maybe expressing regret on saying something or doing something, and not being able to have a chance to make those amends.
Right.
And so to
So almost
achieve.
like missed opportunities.
A lot of it could be from missed opportunities to say or do the things that you wish you could have done.
I love that because so many people say, I wish I could go back and change it. It's like, well, you can. I mean, for yourself,
For
right?
yourself, but
So, yeah,
you
I'm
can't.
not saying it correctly, but you can change it for yourself. You can't go back in time necessarily, but you can revisit it.
You can, and it's got to be careful of how we say that, but through the grief recovery method,
We teach
there
you.
we have a method that we can teach you to de how to deliver those unsaid things in a way that is safe, that is protected in the sense that it's confidential,
Right.
and that that will give you the opportunity to basically release. I have the word release come to me, like release those things that have been harboring inside you
Right.
for months, years. And so it will be able to teach you how to say goodbye to the pain, but not goodbye to the person.
That's
Oftentimes
awesome.
people are afraid to move on because they don't want, they're fearful of having to say goodbye to their loved one
Right.
that is associated with their positive or negative memories. And we're not saying you have to say goodbye to that person. You
No.
can't forget
In
that
fact, we're saying the
person.
opposite.
We're saying say goodbye to the pain that's holding you back,
Right.
and that is limiting you from being able to live and experience your life fully.
Right.
And so that's what we're saying. We're not saying you have to forget about your loved one that passed away or you
Yeah.
have to forget. No, because that would be impossible, but and it's
It's an
also
unrealistic expectation.
unrealistic and not fair for us to do that. It's not something that is realistic at all. So we're saying goodbye to the whatever is hindering you, whatever the pain is, and the unmet hopes, dreams, and expectations that you had. We're not saying to forget that, but that you can still move forward. I think there's a difference towards you hear moving on. How can I move on? To me,
Some people may mean move forward, but they're saying move on, as in look past it, look over it, don't let it bother you, don't let it get you down. It's like there's ways to process that and to deal with it so it doesn't let you down, so you can move forward.
Yes, I think, yeah, there's a definite difference between moving on versus moving forward. And we want people to be able to feel like they can move forward and have the hopeful outlook that they can still experience a full life and have the tools to deal with any future losses or disappointments that are going to come their way.
Because honestly, whether it's a scar on the outside of your body or a scar on the inside, the scar is always there. You can't get rid of the scar.
And it's not something that you can just rush through either. It's going to take time and it's going to take action steps to
We
make
have to
sure that
learn
that's,
to live.
healing well, and it may not go away. The scar may not go away, but you're taking steps to make sure that that is being taken care of and that it's going to heal well.
I mean, the scar is not going to dictate how I choose to live my life moving forward. So it's empowering. I feel like it encourages strength. It definitely doesn't encourage weakness in the sense of it controls you or dictates your day, whether you're happy or sad. It's definitely overcoming some struggle in our lives. So that's good. It's very good. So
So
what's next for us?
next episode, we are actually going to talk more about the myths of grief. We mentioned it a little bit in the last episode, but we're going to go more in depth about what they are and how they are not helpful and what can we do about it.
Imagine that.
So we hope you found this episode helpful, and we want you to know that you are not alone. You are loved, and your baby will always be cherished, and we are here to support you in any way that we can.
Awesome. And we appreciate you listening to this podcast. If you could please give it a thumbs up or even leave a comment or a review. I know on Apple Podcasts and Google, you can actually leave reviews, so that'd be awesome. And if you guys want to, give us input, give us ideas for future episodes and topics that you would like to talk about, Tony and I would love to hear from you and to be able to talk about what, you want to listen to. Imagine that. But I mean, more than all of this, Tony and I always want to let you know at the end of one of our podcasts that you are loved, and that's what we're here for.